Friday, Throwback Thursday. Sam Crowley, welcome back to the Everyday Saturday podcast. It is awesome. I mean, it is beyond awesome to have you with us for your motivation, your inspiration, your empowerment. Hey, I got an amazing day planned for you today. I was offline yesterday. Apologize. No podcast yesterday, but I want to share with you why, and I think you're going to be very excited. First of all, you recognize the jingle. It must be Thursday. It's the throwback jingle from Chris Lambert back in the day. This is awesome, man. I'm going to overserve you in the smorgasbord today. It was my 10-year anniversary, May 6, 2005. I quit my job for the very first time. And I want to take you back because I'm going to do 10 shows today. 10 shows, man. 10 shows. They're maybe 2 minutes long. They might be 10 minutes long. You know me, baby. It's ready, fire, aim. I have no agenda. I got no outline. I'm going to let it rip from the heart. Unfiltered, raw, authentic. And I just want to share with you the 10 lessons I've learned. The 10 lessons I learned, rather, when I quit my job. Some are really profound. I was jotting them down. Let me be real honest with you. I've learned 1,010 lessons, but I just jotted down 10 real quick because I really want to share this with you. So I'm going to do 10 podcasts today because I love my audience. Man, my Twitter feed, you guys are just amazing. Literally people tweeting me from around the world saying, this is the first time I've heard your show. I've been listening since back in November. Let me just see. I can't do it. I don't know. He's from around the world, man. Love your show. Listen till last November. Keep going, Sam. You're the only mentor I have right now. Oh, Mongolia. He's from Mongolia. Where is that, near Boise? Or is that near Orlando? I don't even know. Where the hell is Mongolia? That might even be over on the other side of the world. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Joshua Flores at JSHFLRZ. Just subscribe to your podcast. Love it. Already listened to the last 2 months. Got yourself a new listener. Hashtag Chile. Chile, man. Freaking Chile. That is awesome. I didn't even know I had any friends and fans in Chile. So, hey, here's what I'm going to do. You're not going to hear the intro. You're not going to hear the extra because I don't want to do that for 10 shows in a row today. I'm just going to dive right in, okay? I'm in the next 9 shows from here. And I want to share with you the lessons I learned when I quit my job because there is nothing scarier. Let me tell you something. I've never done anything. Riding front seat in a roller coaster is nothing, man, compared to quitting your job. And I want to take you back to May 6, 2005. It was a beautiful sunny day, just like today. And I was driving into the office for the very last time. At least I thought, you know, I had no idea I'd go bankrupt in 90 days, lose everything I had, and then have to crawl back to my boss and have him cut my salary from $110,000 to $39,000 and sit me in a cubicle. But that's a whole other story. If you've never heard, just go to No More Work Days. Get your free, get your audiobook. If you don't have it, go to samcrowleyaudiobook.com. Put the coupon code is Saturday, all caps, all 19 chapters of my audiobook. Yours for $4.99. Go to No More Workdays. That's the name of the book. It's also where you can download a free chapter. But Sam Crowley audiobook, and use the coupon code Saturday, all caps, and you'll get all 19 chapters. It sells for $22 on Audible, but not for you. Not for a listener of the number one motivational podcast. No. Get it for $4.99. So it was a beautiful day. And I was driving in, and I had a pit in my stomach the size of the Grand Canyon, thinking, what the hell am I doing? I'm quitting my job, literally. I gave my notice. They found my replacement. That was a lesson. It wasn't one I had written down, but we're all replaceable. You're replaceable. I'm replaceable. Whether you quit your job or whether you die tomorrow, we're all replaceable. And I think we all got this ego. I had the ego the size of Montana, man. I'm thinking, wow, they can't replace me. They replaced me in a New York minute. I mean, it was no big deal. You know, I was like, wow, that was quick. Running a $90 million division, and I'm out of here. And I was driving down Interstate 71 for the last time thinking, I started waxing nostalgic. I started thinking about when I started in sales with the company in telephone sales, November 26th of 1990. I was living in Buffalo, New York with 2 girls, strictly platonic. I was bartending and I took the job. It was 6 interviews and I didn't have a college degree. And I thought, oh my God, I get to wear a suit and tie to work every day. And they flew me to Dayton, Ohio. Ironically enough, I live 50 minutes from Dayton now. And I flew there for 3 weeks of training to learn how to sell Yellow Pages. And I was a big boy now. I graduated in the big time. And I launched my career, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. I mean, my mom was so proud of me. I actually got a job. I think she was more excited that I was now off her insurance. And I think she thought, oh, my God, I can stop sending him money, and he's going to stop coming to my house and eating me out of house and home. And, wow, this is pretty fun. Because my mom lived about 80 miles south of Buffalo in Bradford, Pennsylvania. And it was cool. And all I'm waxing nostalgia thinking back, and then I graduated into outside sales, and then I was became a first-level manager. And I thought every one of those benchmarks was an exciting time of my life because I felt so accomplished. You know, I mean, just think about growing up the youngest of eight kids in a you know, kind of a poverty type of atmosphere. But it was a great family. Just, you know, with food stamps and welfare and all that stuff. And now I got my own car, and, you know, I got my own apartment. I moved out, got my own apartment, bought my own house in North Tonawanda, New York, in 1993, February 17th, 1993. I closed on my very first house for $87,000. I mean, $87,000. I remember my mom saying, "What the hell are you doing buying a house for $87,000? What do you think, you live in Beverly Hills?" And it was way too much house for me. I didn't even need, I've always just had apartments, but that's kind of the way I roll, man. I just, you give me an inch, I think I'm a ruler. So I just, I'm thinking about all that stuff, and then here I am. I'm quitting. I'm giving it all up. And the first lesson that I learned back then is that I don't take orders very well. So this is lesson number one. I don't take orders well. I just don't. There was a time I did, and there was a time I had to because I had no control. I had no power. So in order to stay employed, you know, it's funny because most of the way it works in the workplace is employees, they do just enough work not to get fired, and the boss pays them just enough so they won't quit. And it's this crazy relationship that goes on and on and on, and it's almost like the other one thinks they're pulling the wool over the other person's eyes in the relationship, when in fact, they're not. They know. I mean, we all know. When I was an employee, I knew my boss was just basically paying me enough that I wouldn't quit, and I knew I was getting health insurance and things like that to keep me in with the golden handcuffs. And then when I became the boss, I knew what corporate wanted, and that was just pay these guys enough. And I knew the employee was most of the employees. Now, you got your top 10%, and you got your bottom 10%. I mean, I would have guys I'd bring in my office that were just horrible in sales. And it's like, hey, dude, you suck, okay? Not as a person, just in sales. Can we find you a job? Let's go on monster.com. I'd actually have employees bring their lunch in with a brown bag into my office during lunch hour, 12 to 1, and we'd find them a job on Monster, and they'd love me for it. Like, oh, wow, geez, thanks a lot. Hey, no worries, man. Saves me a lot not to have to go through the four-step process, the verbal warning, the written warning, the one-day suspension and termination. That takes a year to go through. And then if they end up, God forbid, hitting a sales quota in between that, you got to restart all over. So I was like, hey, dude, your results suck. Let's just get you out of the job. You're not happy. I don't want you working here. It's just horrible. Yeah, okay, you know, it's cool. Now, most people can handle that type of dialogue. Some can't, but that's okay. That's okay. So I always thought it was funny when the employees thought they were pulling the wool over my eyes by not working or, you know, fudging reports and things like that. Like, come on, man. What do you think? I never did this stuff as a rep? Come on now. So the first lesson I learned was I don't take orders well at all. People would try to put me into a box. People would try to get me to subscribe to their philosophy. People would try to get me to do everything. And towards the latter part of my career, as I became 33 years old, we had Madeline, you know, on my 33rd year here on Earth. And I thought, okay, I'm 33. I got a kid. This is where my priorities are going to start to shift. I want to spend time with my kid. And I'm like, this isn't the only baby, hopefully, God willing, we're going to have. I don't want to be a slave to a job. And I started thinking about becoming an entrepreneur at that time. I started thinking about everything that I just started to dream. Like, I would drive around listening to Robert Kiyosaki CDs. By the way, I'm sharing a stage with Robert Kiyosaki at the end of the month in L.A. That's got to be a whole other podcast. Can you believe that? The kid from Bradford, PA, the ex-stutter. Chalk another one on the list. Like, pinch me, man. John Maxwell, Coach Carter, Les Brown, and Robert Kiyosaki. I mean, come on, man. I used to listen to these guys. It's just Bob Proctor shared the stage with him in Hawaii in 2012. I mean, this is what it means to dream. Not just dream, but dream big. You know, it's just wild. And I didn't take orders well because I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I used to look at people like, who the hell are you telling me what to do now? I mean, really? I'm starting to grow up. It's like when your kids get older and they, not that they talk back to you, but they kind of look at you and you can't talk to your 15-year-old or 16-year-old the way you talk to your 6-year-old. You just can't do it. Yet most managers and supervisors talk to a 16-year-old the same way they talk to a 6-year-old. It's like group therapy. I'm like, no, homie, don't play that game. No, that's not the way we roll now. You got to treat me with more respect. You got to give me more responsibility. You got to give me more money. You got to give me more recognition. And you got to understand now I'm on to your game. You got to get better at what you do because I've gotten a hell of a lot better at what I do. And I just couldn't take orders. And that's lesson number one. I did not take orders well. Moving on. 10 lessons I learned on my 10-year anniversary of quitting the J-O-B. Come back. No jingle. Don't listen for the jingle right now because there's no. This is a no jingle day. We got 10 shows back to back to back to back to back to back to back. Sam Crowley had the best day ever.